It's The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega. Throughout the pandemic, workers for Amazon, McDonald's, Instacart, and other companies have organized against unsafe labor conditions that have left many vulnerable to COVID-19. But despite the increased visibility of labor organizing in the United States, union membership is still on the decline. A little more than 10% of workers in the United States said they belonged to a union in 2019. A new study from Duke University showed that congressional lawmakers are more responsive to working class constituencies with a larger union presence. And that could mean that a more significant union presence nationwide might make a difference for the labor issues that workers have faced in the age of COVID-19. I spoke to Stephen Greenhouse, former New York Times labor reporter and the author of Beaten Down, Worked Up, The Past, Present, and Future of American Labor.
Among young Americans, 67% say approve of unions, think unions are a really good thing for the nation. That's the highest of any age group. And you know, many young workers, you know, they're really joining unions. And of all the industrial nations, corporations in America fight harder to keep out unions. You know, at Trader Joe's, which is, you know, generally a very good company, some workers were complaining back in March about the company not doing enough on COVID-19. And a few days later, you know, the respected, you know, CEO of Trader Joe's sends out a letter to everyone saying, you know, we don't need a union. They just get in the way. They're selfish. So employers have the right to propagandize against unions, to tell workers unions aren't, you know, you don't need them. You don't need to pay dues. But it's illegal for employers to intimidate workers or strong-arm workers to vote against unions. And many workers say that they are intimidated, that they feel strong-armed, their boss will call them into a one-on-one session and say, you know, are you going to vote for a union? And that's kind of per se intimidation. So in my book, I explain the gazillion ways that many employers twist workers' arms, sometimes illegally, to get them to vote against unions. And I would think that if, you know, 50% of American workers were unionized rather than 6% in the private sector, corporations would be acting much more responsibly and responsively in handing safety matters on COVID-19, and we wouldn't see nearly as much income inequality, and we wouldn't have seen these decades of wage stagnation. And you know, many economists have pointed out that as unions in the United States have grown weaker from, you know, 1 in 3 workers in unions 50, 60 years ago to just 1 in 10 today, income inequality has grown and wage stagnation has really prevailed decade after decade. So in ways, you know, a lot of workers feel things are rigged. And that's one reason, believe it or not, that a lot of blue-collar workers voted for Trump. They thought he would solve this rigging problem. But I think a lot of workers have discovered that in many ways, things are as rigged as ever against them, in ways more so. And I think that COVID-19 has made many workers feel, gosh, things are rigged. I'm losing my job. There's not enough safety precautions at work. Oh, they're forcing me back to my job, even though it's dangerous. If I don't go back, I'm going to lose unemployment insurance, and they're not going to let me sue if I get sick.
Did we see an outgrowth from what happened 2 or 3 months ago with these low-wage workers, you know, putting pressure on larger companies that actually will extend to some sort of more organized action, for example, a union?
So we did see walkouts, you know, sometimes just a few dozen workers, sometimes a few hundred workers, you know, at Amazon, at Whole Foods. You know, there's nationwide Instacart strike in several different cities. And that really got the company's attention. It got the media's attention. It really embarrassed a lot of the companies. And I think some of them have taken, you know, significant steps to improve safety from, you know, from COVID-19. And I often think, were it not for, you know, these workers feeling emboldened and sticking their necks out and risking their jobs by going on strike, if it weren't for that, the companies might not have stepped up and begun to do nearly enough. You know, we're seeing a lot of strikes, a lot of worker militancy, a lot of anger. And the next step is, you know, will they form unions? You know, some MIT professors did a big survey, big study 2 years ago that found that 50% of non-union, non-managerial workers in the United States say they'd like to join a union if they could. Yet only 10% of workers on unions and just 6.2% in the private sector. So there's this weird disconnect that, you know, millions and tens of millions and tens of millions of American workers want to join a union, but they really can't, partly, you know, largely because corporations fight so hard against it. And one of the big points I make in my book, Beaten Down, Worked Up, is that you know, workers in the U.S. often feel that things are rigged against them, that, that, you know, they're not getting enough wage increases, that income inequality is getting worse. And unfortunately, you know, that's the result of worker power in the U.S. being so much weaker than in other industrial nations. And unfortunately, you know, in the U.S., I argue in the book, you know, corporations in ways just have too much power. And we've seen, you know, the minimum wage hasn't been increased nationwide in over a decade. And I think corporations just too often forget about the importance of listening to workers. They're too often not concerned enough about what's good for workers and the safety of workers. And I think we've really seen that play out with COVID-19 and companies not doing enough on PPE and other things.
Has the response to the coronavirus and opening the economy been different in countries where unions are more powerful?
So in many European countries, you know, France and Germany and Denmark and Norway, and even in Britain with its very conservative government headed by Boris Johnson, they acted to protect workers and jobs first and then protect companies. In the United States, it was opposite. The Trump administration and the Senate really rushed to protect corporations and not so much to protect workers' jobs. And what all these European countries did is they enacted laws telling companies, we'll pay 80, 75, 90% of your payroll, that you will then use that money to pay your workers' salaries, and don't fire them, don't lay them off. So it didn't create the huge commotion, confusion, distress that we saw in the United States, where 40 million workers lost their jobs, and so many workers, you know, had a heck of a time getting unemployment insurance. And we saw these insanely large, you know, food bank lines. And talk about the system being rigged. You know, I've interviewed workers in Florida who said it's taken weeks, months for me to get unemployment insurance. And finally, after 2 months, you know, when my family didn't have enough food and I finally get unemployment insurance, they're saying I have to go back to work. And if I don't go back to work, I'm not going to get unemployment insurance. And that person, you know, feels screwed, rigged, you know, eight ways to Sunday. And you know, I think a lot of workers are really angry and they really want change. I think, you know, they want unions, but a lot of people don't know about unions. And a lot of unions, you know, there's so much anger around the country in ways that's hard for unions to address, to reach out and help all those workers.
That was Stephen Greenhouse, former New York Times labor reporter and author of Beaten Down, Worked Up, The Past, Present, and Future of American Labor.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.